listening to Cross the Border. And let's pick back up here where we left off in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 13, he says, "And I called you, but you answered not." In the New Testament, it says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Why? Why are few chosen? Someone would like to bring an accusation against the Creator. Many are called, but you're chosen. If He calls and you don't answer, well, you probably won't be chosen, will you? And that is the predicament that most people are in. Oh, they're just too busy to answer. They're too busy to answer the call. They've got better things to do. They've got football games to follow. They gotta make money. They gotta rake in the bucks. Or they got video games to play, you know? They have more important things to do than mess around with the Creator of the universe. More important things to do than read His Word. More important things to do than secure their position in His kingdom. More important things to do than worry about eternity and what's going to happen to them after they die. Many are called, but few are chosen, simply because few answer the call. And then some answer the call. The Messiah, he talked about those that answer the call, and he likened some to good ground, some to stony ground, and some to, well, that grew up among the thorns and the thistles. And you can read about the parable of the sower. I'm sure we covered that thoroughly in our Gospel of Matthew study. And you can check that out on the website, crosstheborder.org. You'll see the Gospel of Matthew study is archived there. And you can listen at no cost anytime you want on demand. So that answers the question of Jeremiah in verse 13, where he says, "And I called you, but you answered not." Are you answering the call today? If you're hearing my voice, well, you're hearing the call. Not just me, like I'm something great. Anytime the Holy Spirit convicts your heart about something you're doing, or perhaps you may hear a word here, or you may think that Bible should be dusted off and read, but I just never get around to it because you gotta watch that football game or, you know, listen to your favorite pop music on the romance idolatry, radio station that you're accustomed to, or, you know, it's just more important than turning over to a Bible teaching or even putting in those Bible tapes so you can just hear the Word of God and nothing else, or God forbid, turning on a program like this. I don't even know why you're listening now. This Bible stuff is probably just bores most people to death because they don't have time for it. All those people right now are, just think of it, there are a few people listening to a program like this, a Through the Bible program. There are very few Through the Bible programs, but say there's thousands in America listening to this type of Bible program. At the same time, there are millions who don't have time. Oh, they heard the call, but they ignored it, or said, "I'll do that later. I'll take care of it on Sunday, or perhaps just on holidays. I'm a good man. Certainly, God won't let me go to hell." And they think about all the good things in their life. Take their fist and rub their chest, you know. They're shining up that apple. All that pride of how good they are. Because all the good things in their life. Not realizing that every good thing in their life is a gift from their Creator. But they'll take credit for it. And they'll point to it and they'll say, "God, I'm a good man. You can't let me burn in hell." But when that day comes, He's going to say, "Take from him who produced nothing, who buried my talent that I gave him, take it from him and give it to him who had 10 talents. For to whom has much, much shall be given. But whoever has not, even that which he has, shall be taken away." Don't have time to answer the call? That's your fate. That's your fate. It's a sad fate. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. You can enter into his kingdom. It's not pie in the sky when you die. You have to be there to go there when you die. You have to already be in his kingdom to stay in his kingdom when your mortality, your grace period of mortality ends. He says, I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Of course, speaking of the northern tribes. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession for me, to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Wow, the Queen of Heaven. Who's the Queen of Heaven? Well, I'll tell you, it was not Miriam, that Hebrew woman, who bore the Messiah. Oh, they've created a whole new image for you in the corporate church. In the mother corporate church, that is. Of course, her Protestant daughters, they don't reverence the Queen of Heaven and try to rename her as the mother of our Messiah, that humble woman who bore the seed of the Holy Spirit. Well, they were making cakes to the Queen of Heaven then, and they're making cakes to the Queen of Heaven now. And pour out drink offerings unto other gods. Oh yes, of all of the saints. Of course, the common people in the Mother Church aren't saints. Only canonized, who the biggie boogie muckies in the red and purple suits wearing their fish hats. Only the ones who say they are saints because they've elevated them to the status of gods that you pray to. This goes on in America. This goes on in Mystery Babylon worldwide. And it went on here in Judah. Listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead the dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and pour out drink offerings. See, that's a picture of praying to other gods. Pour out drink offerings to other gods. That's praying to the saints, praying to anyone but whom our Heavenly Father has authorized to receive his prayer. Remember the Messiah? They call it the Lord's Prayer, but it wasn't the Lord's Prayer. It wasn't his prayer. He was instructing them on how to pray. It was an instruction in prayer. That's right. It was an instruction in prayer. They call it the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. It was an instruction to prayer. Now listen to what he said. Our Father who art in heaven. There's your authorization on how to pray and who to pray to. We pray to our Heavenly Father, and we do it in the name of his Son. We don't pray to saints. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. We don't even pray to Jesus. We don't even pray to the Son. We pray to the Father in the name of the Son, because his blood covers us. If we belong to him, we are in his name because we have been adopted into his family. And anything we pray, if we are truly adopted into his family by his blood, the seed of faith, then every prayer that we pray in his name. Whether we say it properly, whether we say Jesus, whether we say Yahshua, whether we call him Master, when we pray to the Father, we pray in his name. And what does the Heavenly Father say about this? They're kindling the fire, praying to other gods, pouring out drink offerings unto idols, making cakes to the Queen of Heaven. He said, do they provoke me to anger, saith Yahuwah? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? He's saying, whatever is considered anger, whatever retribution that comes upon them, they're bringing it upon themselves. They provoke to themselves confusion of their own faces. Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah God, thus saith the Lord God, Yahuwah Elohim, Behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn, and shall not be quenched. That won't be enough. Thus saith Yahuwah, by name, the Strong's 3068, the Lord, in the Authorized King James Version, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God, the Elohim of Israel, put your burnt offerings into your sacrifices, and eat flesh. For I spoke not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels, and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of Yahuwah, their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth has perished and is cut off from their mouth. Judah, welcome to America. Cut off thine ear, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up lamentation on high places, for the Lord, for Yahuwah hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. Well, that isn't happening in America, is it? Do they set abominations in the congregation, in the house of the meeting? Do they set abomination? Do they have a flag of an image of another god? Do they have a master of another image called a governor? Do they set another flag at equal staff with his standard? Do they have a tree decorated with ornaments during the winter solstice to celebrate the death of the S-U-N? Do they do all of these things? And then they call it Christ Mass, Christ's death. That's what Mass means, death. So they practice, all of the Protestant daughters practice the abominable practices of their mother, the great whore. Do they not practice the sunrise service rather than his Passover in obedience to his word? Do they not practice the practices? Do they not pollute it? Well, I'm in good company here. Paul talked about it. He talked about the pollutions of idols. Are these not the pollutions of idols? Oh, as much as, and I've heard everything to justify it. I don't think I've heard anything that isn't out there. I've heard it all. All of the justifications for Christmas, Ashtaroth, Easter, Valentine's Day. I've heard all of it. It doesn't wash. When I come down to his word, all those things are still the pollution of idols. It's okay to say Merry Christ's death. It's okay to say Merry Christmas, because that's what it means. Christmas means Christ's death. So the great whore had a habit of Christianizing all of her pagan practices. And the reformers couldn't reform the church, so they protested, but at the same time they adopted many of her practices, from virulent anti-Semitism to allowing the pollutions of idols to creep in. As many of the early Protestant churches, they would not do Christmas at all. They would not do Ashtaroth. Some of them decided, hey, let's keep the Sabbath. Not for salvation, because we read the Word and we think it might please our Heavenly Father. Hey, let's keep the feast days. But do the Protestant daughters think that today? And I think, oh no, that's an abominable thing. We can't keep His law. We're free from that. It's nailed to the cross. So let's go out and have a harvest festival instead of the Feast of Tabernacles. Why not? Why should we do what pleases Him when we're used to doing these other things? Yeah. Why would we want to do what pleases our Heavenly Father? Why would we want to keep His feast days? Well, that's abominable. But let's keep Merry Christ's death, Christmas. Let's keep Ashtaroth, Easter. Let's keep a harvest festival. Let's just do the pagan things, but we'll just rename them to sound holy. And by the way, we'll teach all of the wicked ones to do the same thing. We talked about that yesterday. Jeremiah brought that up. The word of the Lord through Jeremiah, the word of our Heavenly Father through His servant and prophet. The children of Judah, chapter 7, verse 30, for the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith Yahuwah. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Yes, child sacrifice. Can you say abortion? It was going on, people. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, saith Yahuwah, that it shall no more be called Tophet, for the valley, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place, and the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall frighten them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Ominous, very sad words. This is a description of the abomination which maketh desolate. This is what brought about the destruction of Jerusalem, of Judah. This is what brought about the destruction of the house of Yahuwah, of their God, the temple, the abomination which maketh desolate. There's no mistake. Oh, all the prophecy pundits out there are looking for an incident, a pig being slaughtered on the altar. Certainly that's an abomination. But that's not the abomination which maketh desolate. The abomination which maketh desolate, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, is being described here in Jeremiah. This is what brought about the destruction. This is what brought about Jerusalem being compassed about by armies. Now remember Yahshua, the Messiah, said it. When you see these things, Jerusalem compassed about by armies, same thing happened here. Babylon came in, compassed about by armies. It was an indication that the cup of sin, the abomination, was full. The abomination which maketh desolate. It happened here, and then it happened again. And the temple was destroyed here, the abomination which maketh desolate, desolated, destroyed, that brought about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, happened here in Jeremiah's time, and it happened again after the Messiah, after the 70 weeks was fulfilled and the gospel went to the Gentiles, went to the nations. That's why the New Testament was printed in the language of the nations, Greek, rather than in Hebrew. Sorry, all you messianics out there, all you, Nothing wrong with Jews for Jesus. There are Hebrew people out there practicing Judaism who have come to the Messiah. That's a wonderful thing. But this whole Gentile messianic movement where they worship everything Jewish and they change and they start speaking Jewish words and singing Jewish-sounding songs and dressing up in Jewish garb and wearing yarmulkes and all that stuff, all that Jewish, that's idolatry. And you'll find that most of these guys are just Gentiles masquerading as Jews. Somehow they discovered their Jewishness. Sad, very sad. But that's it. The abomination which maketh desolate. If you want to know what it is, there it is. That's what it is. Spoken of by Daniel the prophet. He spoke of it, did he not? Yes, he did. And it came again. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 1. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of his priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered, nor be burned. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. That's the judgment of Jeremiah from the God of Israel. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.